Come on up here, then we'll pray. Father, thank you so much for Hannah being here as intern and for everything that she is contributing to the life of the church in so many different ways. And I pray that she would know the presence and anointing of your Holy Spirit as she preaches to us this morning, and that we would hear your voice through her voice. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all, and nice to have you as well watching at home. I don't know which camera to look in, but nice to have you here. So in 1871, there was a guy called Horatio Spafford who had a pretty awful year. He lost his four-year-old son, and then at a similar time, the Great Chicago Fire financially ruined him. 2 years later, in 1873, he planned to visit Europe with his family. His family went ahead of him because he was delayed on business, but then the unimaginable happened. The ship his family were on sunk. He lost all four of his daughters, and only one person survived, which was his wife, who sent him a telegram with the words, "Saved alone." Spafford immediately set off to join his grieving wife, and as his ship passed near where his daughters had died, he penned down these words, "It is well with my soul." And that's how the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," came to be. Even after such a horrible and incredibly painful tragedy, Spafford still felt at peace in his soul. In fact, it was more than peace. It was a sense of wholeness and being content on the inside, even though everything around him had seemingly gone wrong. And the word we would use to sum up that feeling is the word shalom. I'm going to jump over to our reading now. Today we're going to be reading from Judges chapter 6, verses 17 to 24. So if you want to find it in your Bible, then you can. And for context, Israel is being taken over by the Midianites. And Gideon is really, really scared of them, to the point where he's hiding in a wine press to do jobs that should usually be done outside. An angel of the Lord visits Gideon and basically tells him to go and fight these Midianites. And unsurprisingly, Gideon's reaction is kind of like, what do you mean? I can't do that. But the angel of the Lord replies, basically saying, no, Gideon, you can do that. God is with you. You are a mighty warrior. But Gideon still isn't convinced, and he asks God for a sign, and that's where our reading begins. Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them on this rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of his staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." And to this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now, I'm not going to be focusing on that bit where Gideon's lunch is set on fire, but rather the end bit when Gideon builds an altar to the Lord and calls it, "The Lord is Peace." Now, the Hebrew of that phrase translates to Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Now, I mentioned earlier this word shalom, but it's really important to understand what it actually means, especially when we're talking about it as a name of God. So shalom translates to the word peace, but really it's so much more. And some of the words that frequently come up when you Google shalom are tranquility, and harmony, stillness, and welfare. It goes beyond just feeling chilled out or knowing that you've got a day off work or knowing that you have job security or knowing that your family and your friends are safe. It's a sense of utter completeness and wholeness in God. It's like those words that Spafford wrote back in 1873 when he said, "It is well with my soul." That feeling of everything in your soul being still and being complete. Even if everything in the world around you is chaotic and messy, you can still find that internal peace and contentness. Because peace isn't defined by circumstance. When the world falls apart, you don't have to fall apart with it. I read this analogy of peace in a book recently, and I thought it summed up really well. It says, one day, two artists were requisitioned to paint a picture of peace, and the one who painted the best picture would win £250,000. So as you can imagine, both painters attempted to paint the best painting that they could. The first painter set to work by creating a serene portrait of a lake with the sun glistening off it at just the right angle so that it sparkled across the top of the water. The purest blue shade lay across the top of the water, complementing the blue sky. The artist added a young girl skipping near the lake with a yellow balloon securely fastened to her wrist. Trees towered gracefully on one side of the lake with birds gathering in the tallest branches. After completing his painting, the painter leaned back and took a deep breath of satisfaction. In his mind, he had portrayed peace and was sure to win the prize. The second artist had a very different idea in his mind when he painted his image. In his painting, the sky was pitch black. Lightning zigzagged through the air in unpredictable movements. The painter also added water, but the waves in his painting roared as if they were somehow awakened from a terrible dream. Trees bent and bowed, whining in the wind. The painting looked more like a portrait of disaster. But all the way down at the bottom, on the left-hand side, just near the very edge of this horrific scene, a little bird stood on a rock. The little bird had its mouth open, singing a beautiful song. One faint light shone down on the bird as it sung, in spite of the situation all around it. The second painter won the competition. The judges chose him as the winner because he showed the truest manifestation of peace, a well-being that resonates from within despite what's going on all around. Now, in the passage we read earlier, the situation Gideon was facing was not good or peaceful. At first, it may have felt like that second painting, you know, messy and unpredictable and disastrous. I mean, he was already very scared of the Midianites, but then he was told to go and fight them, which initially absolutely terrified him. So Gideon's world might have felt like it was falling apart all around him, but eventually he realized that he didn't have to fall apart with it, because God was with him, and God is peace. But Gideon did have doubts. I mean, he asked God for a sign and basically gave him all the reasons why he couldn't do it. But God reassured him that he could. When Gideon realized that he had been speaking with the angel of the Lord, he felt such a peace and a reassurance that it would all be okay. And he made an altar to celebrate that, inscribed with the words Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. When he noticed that God was with him, he felt God's peace. And you know, we all feel a bit like Gideon sometimes. God asks us to do something which we're really scared to do, and so we tell him all the reasons why we can't do it, and we ask for proof that it's really God that we're speaking to. But even though sometimes we doubt and we give excuses, God still pursues us. God is not going to give up on you. Through it all, he will be with us. And even in the most daunting of tasks, He can fill us with that stillness and that peace. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. God isn't just someone who gives peace, but he is peace. It's part of his nature. He sees our worries and he sees our anxieties and he sees the things that upset us and he answers them in himself as peace. So when we truly know that God is with us, we can know that his shalom, that his peace, is also with us. Now, another time in the Bible when God's peace was really prevalent was when Jesus calmed the storm. So Jesus and a bunch of his disciples were on a boat when suddenly a raging storm came along. And the disciples were absolutely terrified, but Jesus was just fast asleep. So the disciples rushed down to Jesus and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And so Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and told the waves to be quiet, and they were. The storm was calmed simply because Jesus spoke. And in this story, Jesus' peace was not defined by his circumstance. In fact, he was probably calmer in the storm than when he was out of it. However, the disciples let the situation around them affect how they felt on the inside. After he calms the storm, Jesus says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" If the disciples had fully trusted in Jesus and in his power, they would have felt content in knowing that he had it covered and that they wouldn't die. And this, again, is a challenge to us. When we're in the middle of a storm, or rather things around us are messy and chaotic, we feel messy and chaotic on the inside. And then once we're out of the storm, we say to ourselves, "Where was my faith? Why did I not trust in Jesus' power?" Sometimes it's so much easier to see Jesus in the storm when you're out of it than it is to see him in the storm when you're in it too. But again, like Gideon, when we know that God is truly with us, we can feel a sense of that wholeness and that peace that he gives. But the main point about this story of Jesus calming the storm is his power. The wind and the waves calmed simply at the sound of his voice. Because Jesus had such power that even nature obeyed him. When the wind and the waves saw power, they knew peace. It's kind of like they were lost for words about how awesome God is. And they immediately listened to him and obeyed. And this idea of power and peace occurs in the passage we read at the beginning about Gideon. Gideon saw God's almighty power when he set fire to that meat and bread, and when he realized it was God, he felt God's peace. When we see God's power, we know God's peace. Because when we see God's power, we can't help but know that he is greater than any of the situations we find ourselves in, and that he will help us through it all. And with that knowledge, we can feel whole and complete. We can feel shalom. We have the tendency to go on some great search for peace. For some of us, that'll be as simple as flicking on the TV, and for others of us, that might involve going a little bit further afield. But I want to direct that thought to you. Where do you look for your peace? I bet that some of you look for peace in social media. You find a sense of fulfillment in scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, and you kind of forget about the world around you. I bet that some of you look for your peace in watching sports. The minute you get into the stadium or you flick on the TV, you kind of forget about the world around you. I bet that some of you look for your peace in your comfort TV shows or your comfort movies. The minute you hear that familiar theme tune to your favourite show, the world around you just goes quiet and kind of disappears. But where do you really find your peace? You see, the common thread in all of those examples is that we are looking for peace by looking for something that helps us forget about the world around us. But forgetting about the world around you is not the same as finding peace. Because the minute you reach the end of your feed, or the game ends, or the credits start rolling, the world hits you again. Your worries and your anxieties come back. You remember the mountain of emails you have waiting for you at work. You remember that you're still in the middle of an argument with someone. It's gotten so late in the day that you have no time to spend some proper quality time with your family or your friends or even with Jesus. But you know, even in the midst of that, you can find shalom in God. You don't have to wait for the storm to blow over to see Jesus, because he is there in the middle of it with you. One of the things that has always striked me about Gideon's situation is that he felt this peace before he had even started. He hadn't yet started fighting or gathering an army or even started thinking about the logistics of it all. But his first thought is to worship and to build an altar to God to celebrate his peace, to celebrate the fact that God is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. But how do we get to this point of shalom? I mean, I've done all this talking on how God is peace and how we look for peace in the wrong areas, but how do we actually get to this point of shalom ourselves? I think it largely comes down to one word, which is submission. We need to submit to God and trust in his ways. When we get to that point of complete trust in God and in his ways, we know in our heart of hearts that he won't let anything happen to us that he can't help us through. We need to obey his commands. In Isaiah 48:18, he writes, "If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea." When we do what God says we should, we will feel a deep sense of peace that only he can provide, because we know that he has us covered and that his plans are the best plans. We need to rely on God with all that we have. God loves it when we ask him for help, when we realize that we can't do everything in our life in our own strength. And I always picture this reliance on God like a trustful, you know, like when you lean back and you hope someone's going to catch you. Sometimes it feels like you're doing a trustful onto a foam pit or onto a mattress, you know. It doesn't really matter if you're not caught. But often with God, it feels like we're doing a trustful over the edge of a cliff. It takes a lot of faith to fall back and trust that God is going to catch you and deliver you from evil. When we submit to God, we can feel still and rest in the knowledge of who he is. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. So I wonder where you find yourself at the moment. If you looked at yourself in the mirror, could you really say to yourself, "It is well with my soul"? Or do you find yourself in the middle of a storm? Maybe it feels like everything is crashing around you and you're struggling to stay afloat. Now, if that's the case for you, I want to pray for you that you would know God's peace. And to do that, I'm going to ask you to be really brave in a moment. So can I encourage you all to close your eyes while we pray in just a moment? If right now you know you need to feel God's peace, I want to encourage you to put your hand up. Nobody's looking. I'm not going to judge you. Not going to ask any questions. But if you know you need to feel God's peace, I want you to put your hand up. Nothing crazy is going to happen. But admitting to yourself and to God that you're struggling is a really important step into getting help. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, that you are peace. Thank you that you meet us in the middle of the storm and help us say, "It is well with my soul." Father, I want to pray for each and every single person in this room who has just put their hand up, and also those who haven't quite had the courage to. Lord, I pray that you would flood them with your peace. And you'd help them to feel complete, knowing that you are with them in the storm. Lord, you know all of the worries and all of the anxieties we are facing right now, all of the storms that we are going through. And I just pray that you'd meet us wherever we are. Increase your peace, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come rest on this place and bring your peace. Increase your peace, Lord. I'm just going to wait on God for just a moment. Lord, bring peace in this place. Increase your peace. Lord, you are Jehovah Shalom. And I pray that in this coming week or this coming month or whatever storm we find ourselves in at the moment, Lord, I pray that you would be such a strong presence. And then with that presence, Lord, I pray that we would know your peace. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are our peace. In Jesus' name, amen.